Hello, welcome to Chico Hospital for Cats podcast, another brand new episode. This is Sumit, and today we have a very special guest, at least special for us, for this hospital. It is dear Rick Hubbard. Why is he special? Because he had been coming to our practice for many years with his fur babies, kitty friends, and we would like to have a podcast episode today talking from his perspective how it is feeling to be a cat owner, or maybe owned by a cat, as he would tell you guys, and come to a cat-only practice, to our practice, and experience this adventure. Anyways, Rick, welcome to our podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Very excited to have you here. How have you been?
Thank you, Sumit. What a delight to be with you on this informative podcast. Yes, I've been a client, or my fur kids have been a client of CHC since 2001. So that's over 20 years. And you're correct. There's an old saying that I firmly believe in. Dogs have owners, cats have staff. So I've been the staff to about half a dozen cats, going in and out of Chico Hospital for Cats since we first moved to the Chico area in 2001. At the moment, about a year ago, we moved to La Quinta, California, which is in Southern California. And regretfully, one of the things that kind of delayed our move is we didn't want to leave CHC.
Oh, wow.
Because we had such great care for all of our kids, or fur kids. And it's been a challenge to try to find another cat-friendly practice, let alone a cat-only practice in this area, which is near Palm Springs, Palm Desert, et cetera. And we found another vet clinic that does an excellent job. But, you know, CHC sets a really high bar.
We appreciate your good feedback on that. But since you mentioned it was a challenge to find a new veterinary practice, how do you go for finding one? How did you, first of all, end up almost 20 years ago, or more than 20 years ago, with CHC, with Chico Hospital for Cats? And what kind of progress did you follow to find your new place when you moved there?
Let's talk about CHC first, because I recall this vividly, even though it was, you know, 2 decades ago. We had bought a house more or less down the street from CHC, and we kept going by this very attractive sign that said Chico Hospital for Cats. And I thought, that's an intriguing idea. Cat-only practice? That can't be right. So I did a little bit of research with our friend Google. And yes, it's a cat-only practice. And I said, well, we're going there. We did look at a couple other veterinary clinics in the Chico area, but I had never heard of and had no experience with a cat-only practice prior to that. But I really liked the idea of a cat-only practice. We've had unfortunate episodes in the past where with, you know, a cat and a dog practice, or cat, dog, and bird. And one time it was cat, dog, bird, reptile, and other stuff. Bringing our cats into a common waiting area. And that put a lot of stress both on the cat and on me. And I thought, cat only, this is a genius idea. Whoever did that should, you know, get chocolate cake or something. So that was the basis for selecting CHC to go there originally.
And when you decided that, did you see an instant impact or difference versus, you know, general practice versus coming down to the cat-only hospital? When you went to the waiting area of the cat hospital for the first time, did you observe your cats and yourself having less stress as far as check-in process?
Yes, definitely. That's one of the things that cemented my idea of going to CHC. The reception area is very comfortable. Clearly, it's cats only, even though we're all in little carriers. Now, there was a little bit of stress, you know, cat to cat. They are territorial creatures, but not nearly so much as with universal veterinary clinic, where the waiting area might have cats and dogs, you know, reptiles and tortoises.
Of course.
Aren't very confrontational to cats, but dogs are. Another thing that made a distinct impression on us was the friendliness of the staff, starting with Sandy, who was a receptionist at that time, very much a cat person. You knew that instantly. In fact, everyone we met at the when we first went there, you could just tell by the way they were engaging with the animals that they're cat people. But then the cherry on the top was meeting Dr. Colleran. Oh my gosh. That if there's something to be known about cats that she doesn't know, nobody needs to know about it. What an incredible resource. She was very kind to us every time we met with her, very informative, took time to explain things to us, particularly when, you know, some of our cats had severe illness and things mm-hmm. like that. And I just developed a real sense of trust with Dr. Colleran and the other practitioners that we encountered there. But I distinctly got the impression that Dr. Colleran sets a very high bar.
Yeah. And
I don't know if that's true or not. That's my impression.
Well, she, with her vast wisdom and in information and knowledge she has been on our podcast many, many times explaining many important topics as well. So I'm kind of very happy that we had a chance to have her even on the podcast and reach more people than just the local Chico area with her knowledge. And so mm-hmm. that was really nice to see that we were able to spread the word for, you know, good feline practicing and care of cats overall with her guidance here. So, you know, in many parts of the world, in many cultures and in all industries, they always say first impression is always very crucial, very important.
Yes.
When you go into a practice, as far as first impression, what is first few things that you pay attention to? I'm really curious about this because I never had a chance to walk into a practice in your status. I always worked here and brought my cats as a staff member already. So I'm really curious what you maybe instinctively or maybe purposefully looking for when you walk into a practice.
Well, having recently in the last 6 months when we relocated to La Quinta, having gone through a similar practice, perhaps I can comment on that for a moment. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I did was I emailed Dr. Colleran to see if she knew anybody in the region. I explained her circumstances. We live here now, et cetera. And she said she didn't know anybody specifically, but there was a website that listed cat-friendly practices. Not cat only, cat friendly practices.
Okay.
So I went to the website that she suggested and I winnowed them down to those that were within, I think it was 25 or so, 20 or 25 miles of our current location. I read all of their websites. There were five or six, I think. There were six. I read all of their websites. I read the profiles on all the doctors. I looked for comments on Yelp and places like that, just to get a sense for the feel of what other people had to say about those various clinics. In the course of that research, and we'd only been here maybe 2 weeks, if that, my wife stumbled across a cat-only practice. Unfortunately, it's about 35 miles from where we are, and the desert gets very hot. So in the summer, for example, we had weeks that were above 120 degrees Fahrenheit. So we didn't check out the cat-only practice only because of the distance involved. I wanted to go there. But I said, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to be shuttling the cats back and forth in the car for a 20 to 30-mile trip, 60, you know, 40 mm-hmm. to 60, 50-round trip, because that would really stress them out, particularly in the summer. So we stuck with the cat-friendly practice. Narrowed it down to a couple of practices. I did drive-bys on them just to kind of check things out.
Oh.
And I selected the one, although it did have a common waiting room, it had a cat-only side with a big separation about 20 feet in the middle and a dog-only side. So it wasn't quite like Chico Hospital for Cats, but given the parameters of our search, the best we could do. And I became very pleased with the practice that we're currently dealing with. But that was the process I went through. I just didn't want to take my cats to the local vet, you know, mm-hmm. the one down the street. By the way, there is one literally down the street. Also, I did, we live in a community. I did ask a few community members if they had mm-hmm. any recommendations. And they just said the one down the street. Frankly, I wasn't that impressed. So that was my process, Sumit.
So we could say the first impression almost starts before you walk into the building these days, right? You mentioned all the Yelp reviews, all the drive-bys or maybe distance, location. Almost the first impression is there before you walked in physically to the building, right?
Yeah, there was a before first impression, I guess. And I would like to comment, as you know, but your listeners might not, I'm a technophile. I have 3 degrees in computer science for when I taught at the university, taught computers at the university. So I'm pretty comfortable with technology. But my pre-work really revolved a lot around the website, primarily about 2/3 of the weight of evaluation, and less than 1/3 around like Yelp comments. And by the way, I'd like to remark about Yelp for just, I don't put a lot of weight on things like Yelp and Nextdoor and some of those services, because frequently the comments that get posted are complaints or they're friends of the family. So there's a lot of noise in sites like Nextdoor and Yelp and things like that when it comes to testimonials for various vendors. Could be a plumber, could be an electrician, could be a veterinarian, could be a barber, doesn't matter.
Food industry,
So I like to filter some of those out, but I do want to see if there are negative comments. And you can kind of distill through the ones that are just, you know, people that are unhappy and somebody that might have a legitimate comment. And so I don't, if someone had, I'll tell you this, Sumit, if somebody had 100 Yelp reviews and they're all 5 stars, I wouldn't go to them. That to me sounds like a scam.
Okay.
If they had 100 reviews and, you know, 70% were 5 stars and, you know, they're a bunch of 4s and 3s and 2s and 1s, that is a much more authentic response. So I try to be discriminant in reading things like Yelp reviews, Google reviews, Nextdoor reviews, etc. That experience occurred long before I put my hand on the door to go into the vet clinic for the first time.
But because you have so much experience, I kind of want to keep this topic going because you have so much experience with computers and technology. I'm curious now, if we're talking about reviews here, which I totally agree with you about Yelp and a couple other platforms, because honestly, I can tell you that personally, working at Chico Hospital for Cats, I barely visit Yelp to see, you know, this hospital's reviews because... like you said, it's just not a very real platform, at least for us, representing what we do. But do you, for being a good cat owner and knowing technology so well, do you have certain suggestions to other cat owners, which, not maybe necessarily name, but which platforms to look for feedbacks in this case before they choose a hospital? Like this could be a really good moment to say, you know, like the example you gave about 5 or 105-star reviews, are there other stuff people need to be careful of or should look for when they look on the internet?
Interesting question, and one I pondered in my classes as well. And all I can offer are my rules of thumb. By the way, the acronym for rule of thumb is R-O-T, is ROT. So my ROT on this is look for a somewhat normal distribution. If there's a 5-star ranking, for example, on Amazon, if there's 5-star rankings, you know, they shouldn't all be 5s, but you want most of them to be 5s. But there should also be 4s and 3s and 1s. The 1s should be... for a my observation of typical consumer reporting behavior with a sense of authenticity, the 1s will be somewhere around 3 to 5, maybe as high as 6 or 7%. 2s are actually less frequent. I don't know why, but people rarely put a 2. So if there's 2% of 2s and say 5% of 1s, I'm still finding that acceptable. If you see 3s at maybe the 10 to 15%, the 4s at maybe a little bit higher, and the 5s up around 60, 70%. To me, that looks like a fairly authentic. If they're all 5s and 4s and there's no 3, 2s, and 1s, that to me looks like a scam. If there's a bunch of 1s, not related to cats, but I happen to notice something on Amazon a couple of days ago. this particular vendor had something like 8,000 reviews.
Wow.
Of which 7,900 of them were one. Now, in the face value, you'd say, well, that guy's got to be really bad. But how could you get 8,000 reviews if everybody hated your product? So to me, that suggested an organized campaign of a competitor trying to discredit one of their primary vendors in their marketplace. Mm-hmm. So, Sumedh, I just say diligence counts. Be thoughtful. Don't take things in face value. Ask yourself if the comments and the rating kind of relate to each other. I'm sorry. I skipped over the most obvious. I look for spelling, grammar, syntactical errors, contextual errors, and things like that. Okay. There are spam houses all around the world with people that post hundreds or thousands of these kinds of messages for a fee, but they don't write very well. And you
trolls.
Just see those really pretty quickly. Just toss them out. It's
yeah,
difficult calculus.
People call them trolls nowadays,
trolls.
Right?
Definitely trolls. And on both sides. I'm also an author, and another author acquaintance of mine who does not, who shall remain not nameless because they think they write horribly, has hundreds of 5-star reviews on Amazon. I also know that she paid for them.
Oh, okay.
And Amazon right now is trying to find out who she is. I'm not going to reveal that.
Going back to the practice, we talked about maybe location and the setup, only cat or cat friendly. What about staffing? You walk in, of course, over time, valuable relationship will be built between you and the staff, right? So there's two sections to my question. First time you show up when you don't know anybody, but you are going to trust them with the care of your fur baby. And then the second part where there's a little bit time pass and you're starting to build these stronger relationships with people over time. What do you look for in these relationships you build with the staff of the practice?
So again, I feel my experience is extremely warped by the positive experiences at CHC. It was said that Steve Jobs at Apple had a reality distortion field. I think Dr. Colleran has the same thing. Because everyone I met at CHC struck me first as an authentic cat person. In the past, when I was at other clinics, I think people, I had occasionally the suspicion that somebody's putting on an act. Oh, what a cute cat, but they didn't really feel that way. Mm-hmm. So I noticed it. I did notice this, Sumedh. Interesting question. After we've been going there, well, it's hard to say because it was 20 years ago. I'd say in a relatively short period of time, I noticed that everybody at CHC was an authentic cat person. They would talk about their cats, experiences that they had with their cats or something similar. Or, they tried this food or this toy or something like that. And so that was, to me, an important factor because, I want cats around cat people and cat people around cats. Over time, you're right. Some of the relationships I developed, I would say they're in the same type or realm of trust as I have with Dr. Colleran, Dr. Veckman, and some of the others, Dr. Kleinman, et cetera. Others there at the clinic with yourself. I mean, if you called me up and you said, "Hey, Rick, this is Sumedh, and we think your cat needs to do this," I would do it, Sumedh, just because it's coming from you. The same with Jan. Jan calls and says, something about, particularly in Jan's case, it frequently dental related matters. Yeah, okay, Jan, whatever you say goes. If you say the cat needs a dental treatment, the cat needs a dental treatment.
And that's sort of priceless, right? That kind of trust is sort of priceless because you don't have to worry if you don't have to second guess or doubt. Isn't that such a peace of mind, I would say?
Absolutely. I felt very, always, for two decades, felt very comfortable and confident with any recommendation that anybody in the met. And I'd like to tell you a very brief story. Because I was thinking about that very feature or facet of the CHC experience about 2 weeks ago when I got some new tires on my wife's car. And I knew that two of the tires had to be replaced. I was pretty convinced of that. And I explained to the guy, I'm new to the area. We're trying to establish a relationship with a tire. You know, I gave him enough to know that this could be a long-term customer, which I'm not going to go back to this. I'm not going to go back to the store because he tries to sell me four tires. And I know the other two are kind of okay. And replace the front end shocks and struts. Well, I took it to an auto mechanic that we do have trust in, and it doesn't need any of those things. And I knew it didn't. And as this guy is pitching me all this extra stuff, you know, going from a $400 bill for tires to almost $2,000,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking about CHC.
Oh, really?
I know it's an odd thing to do because how many times are you in the tire store and you're thinking about a veterinarian? But I was, because they said, this is exactly the opposite. My experience with the tire store was exactly the opposite of my experience with CHC, where I would accept anything, any recommendation made from anyone at CHC. I doubted everything this guy said to the point where mm-hmm. I won't go back to the store.
Mm-hmm.
If I lived within 100 miles of Chico, we would still be taking our fur kids to CHC. But unfortunately, I live about 500 miles away, so that's not practical. Why? Because of that trust, the experience, the authenticity of the people involved. So that was my little story, Sumit.
Very interesting. Thanks for sharing it with us. Definitely picturing it in my mind, being in a tire store, thinking about the cat hospital is it must be rare.
It is a rare event, but it's my event. So there you go.
Yeah. So going more into details with your own cats, what kind of treatments did you have that you were impressed as far as the procedure itself and how it was handled? Did you ever had a situation where maybe communication was very, very crucial and people were getting back to you in a timely manner when you were worried how it is going? Or did you have another situation where you had to make choices, but maybe guidance or suggestions were clear and helping you by making those decisions? Because as you know, no matter how much we know about cats and we want to do the best, ultimately it will always be up to the, you know, fur baby owners to decide what sure. they can do and how much they can do.
Yeah. So I think that's a very interesting and insightful question, Sumit. And I appreciate you asking it. So in my case, I've got four things that come to mind. The first is, after a while, many of the, if not all, but many of the staff at CHC started trusting me as a human. And I would be invited back to, you know, observe the a procedure being done mm-hmm. to one of our cats. For example, taking blood pressure or mm-hmm. urinalysis or urine sample or blood sample, things like that. And I could hold the cat and things within limits. They had, you know,
of course,
you have liability issues. But I appreciated that because I don't like this idea. Again, I had bad experiences in the past mm-hmm. where I don't know what's going on the other side of that door. Mm-hmm. What are they doing yes. to my cat? Because I can hear the cat yelling. Mm-hmm. This is about 30 years. And I opened the door in this particular episode about 30, actually, it's almost 40 years ago now. I opened the door and I got yelled at.
Mm.
That does not happen at CHC. You know, you, in some cases, not all, the human get to mm-hmm. care for the cat and what have you. So that impressed me. One thing, back to Jan for a moment. One of our cats needed 7 teeth extracted at once. That's got to be some kind of record. And it was what do they call it? Dental absorption, reabsorption. Reabsorption mm-hmm. was the issue
yes.
with this poor guy. And he was, you know, an abandoned cat found in a snowdrift, really horrible, you know, starving. It was really a horrible story. So poor guy, you know, but Jan took the time to explain it to me. And I'd just taken him in that morning for like our dental evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, 7 extractions is fairly expensive. I want to make an aside on that remark. I am forever grateful that Dr. Colleran suggested I sign up for Trupanion. Good heavens, must be like 6 or 7 years.
Kid insurance.
I was always suspicious of pet insurance because of things I'd read and like, but back to the trust issue, I went back and forth in this, but I finally came down on my decision to sign up for our kids up for Trupanion on her recommendation. I was opposed to the idea of pet insurance. I thought it was a big ripoff. Mm-hmm. I said, if she's recommending this, she's done her homework. So I'll sign up. I'm going to take the risk. And if I don't like it, we'll cancel it after a couple of months.
Yeah.
Well, those seven teeth at the time were covered by Trupanion, although I understand they've cut back on coverage these days. But I'm very grateful for her for making that recommendation. Anyway, back to the clinical experience. So Jan calls me up and explains what's going on with any seven teeth extracted. It was, you know, stressful for him. We're worried about the cat. My gosh, you know, he had this kind of abused childhood, so to speak. So yeah, we want the very best for him. That's my second example. My third, unfortunately, was a couple of times where we put cats to. That's such a traumatic experience for a dedicated cat, you know, human companion to a cat. And it's also stressful on the veterinarian and the vet clinic. Folks like yourself and your colleagues, Samet, you go from somebody having to put to sleep their 20-year-old companion who slept with them every night and purrs and lap and things like that. And the very next thing is somebody has a new kitten and it's all happiness and joy.
A roller coaster of emotions.
You guys ride a roller coaster of emotion all day, every day.
Correct.
And I'm grateful to you, like yourself, who does that. So with one cat especially, I had no doubt that the cat was going to perish. I just couldn't tell when. And I didn't want the cat to have any painful experiences or lingering or discomfort or what have you. And this is 12 or so years ago. So I was taking the cat in almost every day for an evaluate, every day or every other day, have it evaluated in its current condition. And when the vet got to the point, I was thinking this one visit, well, we probably have about a month to go. And one of the veterinarians, today or tomorrow would be for the cat. As heart-wrenching as that is, we confronted that requirement, that decision, and went ahead with it the next day, put to sleep. And later on, a few days later, once I saw how quickly the poor animal succumbed to injection, I said, the cat was a lot sicker than I thought. Now, Samet, I've been around cats my entire life. I know that they hide their sickness.
They do.
This cat hit it so well in feline quantum space that I was stunned to realize how sick the animal was. If I had gone with my instinct and waited another month, the poor animal would have really suffered. Instead, I relied on the recommendation of one of the veterinarians there at the clinic, and the cat was released from the pain that they're experiencing. I hated the episode, and I'm grateful to the...
Yeah, sometimes going through those hard times, your perception can become a little bit shifted too.
Yeah.
On top of the cat hiding it. And so
this cat was genius at hiding. That was my third episode. And the fourth one, Samet, actually involved yourself.
Oh.
You might recall that one of our cats had to have the I-131 iodine thyroid radiography. And you are, I believe, the only certified technician for that. Is that correct?
Correct. I'm the coordinator and the technician helping with the treatment.
Well, you were very attentive to our cat. I really appreciate having the cat cam so I can keep an eye on him. At the time, I was teaching at the university, so I sat at my desk a lot writing lectures and slides and grading papers, things like that. And the entire time, I would have the cat cam up on my computer just so I keep an eye on our cat.
That's awesome.
And I would see you come in and, you know, like play with them a little bit, et cetera. So that was a frightening experience for us. We could tell that this particular cat has a BMI to begin with of like negative 10. By way of reference, my BMI is around 200. So he's skinny to begin with, and he seemed to be getting skinnier. So we took him in, and he was diagnosed with having a thyroid problem, which could be treatable with a lifelong regime of drugs. Not desirable, because I read up on the drugs, and I was informed that they'd be damaging to organs and systems, or a one-time treatment with this I-131 stuff, iodine-131, which was, as I recollect, it was three or four days that the cat had to be sequestered in the little special area. Again, it was explained to me. Actually, I think that was Dr. Collarin, as I recollect.
Yes.
Explained it to me, you know, what the diagnosis was, what the prognosis was, what the alternative treatments were. She actually took me back there to the area where the animals are sequestered, vacation, showed me the area, explained how the cat would be treated, showed me the cat cam so they keep an eye on them. And I said, let's do that. So that seemed to be the best, in her advice, that was the best treatment alternative.
Absolutely.
So those four events really stick out in my mind about my experiences at CHC. And in each case, to me, the common theme is an authentic cat person showing compassionate concern for a cat. And that's the way I would describe CHC in total. Authentic cat people providing compassionate care and concern for cats.
I appreciate all those four stories that are very, very valuable. I do want to make a couple little additions to your last story because a lot of I-131 candidate people are listening to our podcast prior to signing up because they're coming from all around the place because there's just not so many practices that offer this treatment. Mm-hmm. You're so special to us. The fact that you were taken back there and see the cameras and where we do it is also very special because normally I don't want anybody to get wrong impression. There is no way for them to visit their cats. This has been done when there were no treatment happening to show you that place.
Yes. You're right. I should mention there were no cats in the vicinity.
There were no cats in there. Yeah. It wasn't a radioactive room. And then the stay, people always ask me, can I pick up my cat sooner? But the overall stay is always Monday through Friday with us. Other places might have other regulations. I do want to just mention those two things for people who listen to this, maybe in hopes of getting more information about us in the future. I just want to, you know, mention these two topics.
Good point. But
you know, overall, everything you said, I mean, it's so valuable, and I'm so happy you actually joined us to tell us all this, because when you are in a position, you see things only from that perspective. And basically, we're always on this side trying to provide, and you are on the other side trying to receive a good quality service. So everything you say is very valuable in that aspect, because not just any other cat owner, but other people who work for other veterinary offices could listen to this and get all these insights from you.
You reminded me of one more facet, Sumit, of the I-131 experience. You're right. I should have mentioned that there were no cats in there, and I was only in the 10 seconds, maybe. But the waiting, the 4 or 5 days to wait to get the cat back was much harder on me than it was on my cat. Which I could tell from the cat cam. You know, he's just sleeping there and he's okay and he's fine. I'm the one needed a tranquilizer or something. Sedation, maybe.
It's like a five-star hotel for them.
Yeah. So the separation is, at least in my experience, is much harder on me than it was in the cat. It's okay, well, here I am. I'm just going so. And it seems that he's doing fine. With his new vet experience here in the La Quinta,
good.
I did request a
T4, yes.
Cats get a T4 test. I did request a T4 panel, and he came back in the range. So, yay.
That's wonderful to hear. Rick, before we come to the end of this podcast, anything at all that you would like to add that maybe I forgot to ask or maybe something that comes to your mind about, you know, simply being a cat owner or maybe simply cats owning you or a part of being our hospital in the past? Anything else you would like to add?
Yeah, a bit of lore, but this one episode that I do want to speak of, and I think it was Dr. Kleiman that clarified a mystery. This is back to feline dental care. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I was told I was probably 10 or so, keep in mind, I've had cats all my life. A veterinarian said something like, cats don't need dental care or something like that. I don't remember the exact words. I was 10. But the spirit of it was, a cat doesn't need dental care. They just take care of themselves. Well, that lore, which turns out to be great amount of misinformation, stuck with me through life. I always thought that maybe the natural flora and fauna in a cat's mouth and their environment, maybe it just takes care of stuff. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be more wrong, practically. So when we first encountered one of our cats needing a dental treatment, I think I recall the sequence now. Dr. Kleiman recommended a dental treatment. My reaction was, what? Cats get dental treatments? No, because when I was a kid, I was told they don't need that. And then Jan shows up, and Jan explains to me stuff. She shows me on our specific cat, shows some x-rays and some of the inflammation and what have you. And I think she emailed me something about feline dental, you know, causes and treatments and things like that.
A new world for you.
Whole new world. Completely changed my wrong impression about cats. And now I understand the criticality of feline dental treatment. And so our guys get evaluated when we were there, and we continue to do this. We have them evaluated every 6 months, and when they need a treatment, which tends to be about once a year for one cat and about 18 mother two, mm-hmm. We get it done. However, here's the punchline to this particular story. Because of that article that Jan provided me to read about feline dental condition, I happen to remember something about a drooling is an indicator, is a symptom of certain problems. Mm-hmm. Our daughter's cat, she lives in Maryland, happened to comment about her cat having this same drooling thing. And I said, oh my gosh, just, you know, go check her out. Get the cat checked out. That's an indicator of feline dental issues. And she scoffed. No, cats don't have that kind of problem. Right, because that's what I thought. So mm-hmm. She learned that. Took her cat to their vet in Maryland, and what do you know? Dental issue. So that little cascading sequence of events has led to me now being, I wouldn't say I'm exceptionally well informed, but I'm better informed than I mm-hmm. was with the misinformation I had, and I'm able to now pass that along to others. Whereas before, I'm sure I was spreading misinformation, which is a horrible thing. So I'm grateful again to especially Jan's knowledge of feline dental issues. Legendary.
Absolutely. And
I think, you know, Sumit, as we're winding down here, one of the things I'm reflecting on the experiences we've had there over. Yeah, you folks, you and all of your colleagues do go through that emotional roller coaster. But I wonder to what degree you guys understand the positive effect you have and kind of the ripple effect. If you talk to one person, you know, Jan talked to me 10 years ago or so about this dental stuff, and that continues to reverberate. So you're affecting people and cats in ways you might not even know that you mm-hmm. And that's just a good thing for everyone. So that's my last thought on this, Sumit.
That's a perfect spot to finish this episode with, this very positive vibe, I should say, because I don't think we could do what we do every day if we at least deep down inside didn't know this positive impact that we're having. So, yeah. You know, hearing it aloud from you, coming from you, from a very long-term special good cat owner and CHC visitor, it's extra special for us. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate your time too. I really feel like I was lucky to meet you as well in person, because I enjoyed, you know, being included in the care of your kitties here. When you were here, you were always very easy to speak and to explain and to listen to as well, coming from you, whatever your needs were and your input was. And so, because you're very good observer, which is very important for cat owners. Like you said, they're good at hiding everything, so the least we can do is look closer for any signs we can find for our cats, like the drooling example you gave. Mm-hmm. Right, so overall I feel very lucky, and you know, we were, I'm sure everybody here was a little bit bummed, but I was very bummed too when I heard that you moved away, or you were planning to move away. So,
me too.
but at least we had a chance to connect through this podcast. And now another good thing is this will be recorded and stay here for other people to listen to your experience and to our little chat we had here. So, looking forward to talk to you in the future again, absolutely, if you're also willing to. But for now, really, really appreciate your time and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sumit, and everyone at Chico Hospital for Cats for 20 wonderful years of care, compassionate care, and authentic compassionate care for our fur kids. It was my privilege and pleasure.
All right, guys, another episode here at Chico Hospital for Cats is coming to an end. You guys can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or any other platforms you prefer to listen to your podcasts. As well as we are on chicocats.com, our own website, with a lot of other useful information. Take care and see you with the next episode. Bye-bye.